How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. I am joined, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. And today and in the future, we are live. We're going to be taking your phone calls, emails, Twitter posts, pretty much any social media way you can think of to get a hold of us. We're going to give you all that here on the program. Don't start calling yet, everybody. We're going to go over the news here in the first couple of segments. And then we'll be taking your open line phone calls, whatever's on your mind, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. All of the ways to contact us are available up at WrestlingObserver.com. But very quickly, the phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Phone lines not open yet, so hold on to that number. We'll be giving it out throughout the show. You can contact me via Twitter. We'll be taking your Twitter questions throughout the evening at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Follow me there, and you'll be able to email us as well, Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. I know on the front page of the website right now it says WOL@WrestlingObserver.com. That email address is not working at the moment, but we'll get it fixed hopefully during this show. But for now, Brian@WrestlingObserver.com is the email to get a hold of us. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. The last time we were on this program, we were talking about the WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view. The Survivor Series is in the books, and we are now heading towards the TLC pay-per-view, where as a result of Survivor Series, it is now supposedly a title-for-title match. Randy Orton and John Cena both putting their world championships on the line, and we're going to see, will there be one champion? Will these two guys switch belts? What exactly are they going to do here at Survivor Series? Plus a bunch of UFC news and so much more to talk about. So that is coming up after the break. Stand by. Get ready to call. Start tweeting right now. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out, tune in radio, both online and on the mobile app. The iHeartRadio Talk Radio Portal, both online and on their app, Sirius Satellite Radio app. So many ways to listen to us. And we are here live later on in the evening. We're going to be taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. Don't call yet. It's going to be a little while before we get to the phone lines. You can, however, contact me right now on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Emails to Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi. And Mike, how you doing today?
Can't complain too much. It's great to be back to being live again. So now I can spoil football games for everybody. And it's nice to see that Rob Ford making an appearance at the in Toronto at the Buffalo-Atlanta game seems to have spurned my Falcons on. So I'll take that as a nice way to start today's episode.
That's right. We'll be able to do some play-by-play of the WWE pay-per-view pre-shows now in the future as well. So it should be a fun time. And, of course, talking to all of you listening to this right now. The news. We got to get into some of this. The WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view. Of course, last time we were on air, we were talking about the show, and we made a lot of predictions. And in the main event, Randy Orton did, in fact, beat the Big Show to retain the WWE title. And at the same time, the world title, John Cena beat Alberto Del Rio. And the show ended with both guys standing there doing a face-off. And they set up a match for TLC. It is a tables, ladders, and chairs match. The WWE title and the world title are going to be hanging above the ring. And supposedly, according to Triple H, and it's kind of a funny story because if you really follow WWE and the website and the programming, it's pretty clear they don't really know what's going on. Because on television, John Cena suggested it was time for one champion. Nobody else said it was a unification match. Triple H then went on television and said, the idea is to have one champion, which of course means a unification match. And then the WWE web crew, when they made a graphic for the show, they simply announced that both of the titles were going to be on the line. So it seems that people are very skeptical that we're going to come out of this pay-per-view with just one champion. Mike, if you had to put your odds on this, is TLC going to end with one guy as the dual reigning undisputed champion of WWE, or are maybe they just going to switch belts?
I think they'll probably just switch belts. Either that, or there will be some sort of scenario where the powers that be, the Triple H and Stephanie, along with Randy Orton, end up giving him both belts out of the deal. He'll be walking around with two titles, but that's another thing. I mean, is it for the guy to walk around with two championship belts, or is it an actual unification of the titles? I think regardless, even though we got a clean finish this past Sunday at Survivor Series, with the history of the way things have been going and how things have been booked, I don't have any faith at all that you're going to come out of this with really anything. And I just look at this as just another pay-per-view that happens to be in the way to get towards Survivor Series.
You know, it's funny. Now that they've teased doing this this unification match, if they don't unify the titles at TLC, to me, at some point over the next 6 months, you've got to unify them. Because now you've planted the seeds, you've got people thinking about it, you've got people talking about it. And the one thing that's interesting to me is, the moment Survivor Series was over, I heard from somebody in WWE, and they said, despite what it looks like, no plans for a unification match. And then, of course, you know, the next night on Raw, they're plugging this match for both titles. And it could end up being a situation where, when they first decided to do this match, they didn't have any intention of unifying the titles. But once they shot the angle, maybe they'll be sitting there thinking, you know, we've had five pay-per-views in the last 5 months. Four of them have had some sort of screw job finish in the main event. A guy has won the title and then it's been stripped of him, or you know, the referee thing with Daniel Bryan. I mean, it's just been one bad finish after another. And maybe they've thought about it and just kind of figured, well, we got to unify these titles, because if not, we're asking people to buy another pay-per-view and we're not going to give them what they paid for.
I guess it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. I've been all for unifying the titles. I thought that's something Brock Lesnar should do, although with the structure of how his contract was, he was the last undisputed champion. I thought it was, you know, a cool-looking belt and things like that, where he had every reason in the world to go out there and try it with him, except for the fact that he was working so few at dates and things like that. But to unify him, I think it's a good idea. Now, the thing is, also having no faith in a lot of what they're doing, do they just unify until the Royal Rumble? Then we have split champions. Is it two elimination chamber, where you have had previously, you know, two elimination chambers going on, you know, Money in the Bank pay-per-view this year coming up? What are you going to do with that? I mean, when it comes to having one champion, because I can't see John Cena being in too many Money in the Banks. So I don't know. I think it's not a bad idea, because again, having two champions waters down both of them. And Alberto Del Rio, as we've talked about in the past, I mean, he was just, you know, John Cena was the champion in the face of WWE, and then there was the quote-unquote SmackDown champion. So unless you're going to do this and go full bore with it, you know, I don't see a reason to do it. If this is just a way to unify them, then we're going to split them at a pay-per-view, you know, coming up in the next 2 to 3 months. You know, it just devalues it even more.
Well, it's true they don't need two champions, but the reality is right now they have four champions. So if I were in charge, you take the WWE and world titles and you unify them together, and then you take the Intercontinental and the U.S. title and you unify them, and then we're back to what we had in the old days. I know I sound like an old man here, but you've got a main world heavyweight champion, whatever you want to call it, WWE champion, whatever, and then you've got a secondary champion who carries the unified Intercontinental and U.S. titles. And then you got your Intercontinental guy can headline one house show loop. Your WWE title guy can headline another house show loop. You don't have all these stupid belts floating around devaluing the other titles. And quite frankly, of late, you know, devaluing the guy that holds those titles because they get beaten all the time. To me, that's the best way to go about it. And I guess the other question to you is, as a fan of Japanese pro wrestling, Mike, if they unify the titles, do you give the guy one brand new belt, or does he walk around with both belts?
I think you could walk around with both belts, but I think in their case, you have that old really nice and almost Japanese-looking black leather championship belt that they had, that Brock Lesnar and The Rock and a couple other guys had way back before there was a split and he went to SmackDown full-time. So you do have that belt. I would break that out of the mothballs and go ahead and use that instead. But the other thing, you know, you have to either give the IC US title then to somebody who is strong enough to headline a house show, or have, you know, you need a guy with name value and a guy like, say, a Randy Orton or somebody like that, where you still need name appeal for these shows. And as much as I like Big E Langston, and as much as he's a guy on the rise, just because Big E Langston happens to be the Intercontinental/US title holder, or whatever you're going to call it, I would assume it would be Intercontinental Champion. Just because he's that champion doesn't mean he's got the necessary capabilities to go out and headline a house show circuit.
The other big talking point from the show, and actually, I'd love to get calls later on this evening from people just basically asking you, are you going to buy the WWE Network? I mean, the big selling point of this WWE Network is allegedly that you're going to get these pay-per-views, these secondary pay-per-views, every non-WrestleMania pay-per-view, and maybe even this year, WrestleMania itself, you're going to get these pay-per-views for free if you buy the network, which would be either $9.95 or $14.95. So the question to you, the listener, is, are you going to buy this WWE Network? Because to me, the way that pay-per-views have been going of late, I don't know how much of a selling point these pay-per-views are. To me, the selling point is the old historical footage, the pay-per-views, and whatever else you're going to have, the Legends House, obviously not Total Divas since that's on E. And really, any show they produce that's any good is going to end up on an E network or some other network. I mean, it's going to end up on the WWE Network if no one else picks it up. That's what happened with Total Divas. It got picked up, so it went to E. But if you're a fan of classic wrestling, I mean, you used to have classics on demand, and nobody bought that. So it's a very interesting question, and we'll get your thoughts on that later on in this program. We're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are live here on Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Byline USA. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, iHeart.com. All sorts of smartphone apps for your phone. We'll get into those a little bit later in the program. And we'll be taking your calls later on in this program. The phone number, 855-478-4478. Get ready to call. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. We'll be taking some Twitter questions here as well. Email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. And I did get a few responses during the break from people on Twitter who said that they will, in fact, be buying the WWE Network. So they can look forward to at least two buys so far, based on my calculations. And a lot of different emails here as well. We'll get into those here in a bit. And Mike, tonight is the return of Total Divas. And the question is, if I'm the only person in the world excited for the return of tonight's show.
I believe so. Although I'm sure interest is a little bit up now that we're going to get to see Vinny in a ring.
Vincent is going to be training tonight to be a professional wrestler.
Now, what are your odds on this? I know the listener at home probably does not know your friend Vincent Verhey, a former professional wrestling superstar in the Pacific Northwest. Who do you think will have better training methods, Vinny from Total Divas or your friend Vince?
Well, that's why I'm watching the show. Vinny's coming over tonight. That's the whole thing. We're going to see which Vinny was better on day one of wrestling training. And it's going to be tough for Arion's Vinny to be worse than Vincent Verhey. He became a competent pro wrestler in the end, but it was rough going. It was rough going for a long time. Years,
of course,
in
Vinny,
fact.
Vinny's got the advantage of having creative editing, which I'm sure there will be a lot of this evening.
Well, yeah, creative editing probably to make him look like an idiot. So it's probably not going to benefit him, to be honest. But in fact, that is Total Divas tonight. Mike, did you watch last week's show?
I sort of trudged my way through it, yes.
Come on now. You got to watch this thing start to finish. Last week's show was awesome.
Well, I would start doing other things. It for some reason, it just doesn't hold my interest.
Yeah, what's funny is there are other shows on E, and I am married, so E is on the television here and there. my wife watches various shows. But when he is just on, Total Divas replays all the time. And a lot of people are watching this show. And unfortunately for WWE, this is not transferred into Raw viewers. The viewership for Raw has not increased one bit. The amount of women viewers has not increased one bit. So a lot of wives and girlfriends are in fact watching the show, but it is not compelling them to spend 3 hours Monday night watching the same women on Raw. And maybe if Vinny eventually makes the big jump to Monday Night Raw, we'll really have a spike in viewership. But until then, I don't know if this is a great crossover vehicle.
No, this is not Tough Enough wasn't even all that great of one by the end of it. So I don't think Total Divas is going to do the job it needs to do for Vinny. Although, you know, Vinny out there, conspiring with tons of funk now that they're bad guys. Maybe we can, who knows, maybe that's the whole reason that Brodus is really upset. It's not about Xavier Woods stealing his theme music. It's about Vinny getting into his business.
Now, the other thing, another talking point, another television show that relates to wrestling but isn't exactly pro wrestling, and I want to know the thoughts if anybody listening to this right now watched The Miz's Christmas movie. Because for those of you that have been watching WWE programming, The Miz, actually, he did a heel turn on Twitter first. Because if you're going to do a heel turn, there's no better place than on Twitter. So he turned heel. And they shot an angle on television. He gave the old shorthand, as they say, to Kofi Kingston, and he turned heel. And then, and I swear to you listening that this is a true story, the people that write Raw all of a sudden discovered, uh-oh, Miz has a Christmas movie that debuts on television next Tuesday. Oops. And so what they had to do was undo the heel turn. And they had to do 2 days worth of programming where Miz all of a sudden was a nice guy again, smiling, shaking hands, that sort of deal. They tried to push it like he was just trying to get an edge the week before. They basically do undo their own storyline because they forgot that one of their stars was in a Christmas movie the following Tuesday. So anyway, they did that. And this past Tuesday night, the Miz's Christmas movie, which honest to God, off the top of my head, I can't remember what it's called, but it was on ABC Family. And I got zero response to this movie. I didn't get one email. I didn't get anything from anybody who'd seen this movie. So if you're listening to this right now and you saw The Miz's movie, I want to get a review later on in this program when we open up the phone lines. I want to know how this program did.
And the Christmas Bounty.
That's right. The Christmas Bounty. That's right. So probably in the next segment, we're going to open up those phone lines. And if you saw Christmas Bounty, I want to get a quick review here on this program.
It was so incredibly frustrating last week, and I don't know if we did talk about it last week on here with just the, because I thought that Raw show stunk until this week, which then again, this week I wasn't that offended about because I just gotten so apathetic after being so upset over last week's show. But I think they gave more mention to The Miz in this Christmas movie last year when he was filming it, and I don't know how this slips through the cracks after, especially with somebody that is their PR machine, and they love trotting him out there. One of the reasons they trotted him out there with Michael Strahan this week. How does somebody miss something like this? With WWE is so great at so many things, and the enormity of their business, there's a lot of it to be, you know, just to be marveled at and to be very impressed with. But when it comes to just some of these things like that, for example, and having the wacky Kmart busting out of a birthday present commercial still airing after Miz short-armed Kofi, it just boggles my mind.
Well, the problem, Mike, is that Miz is really annoying. And so you really can't – I mean, he's a great PR guy. He's a great guy to put on television shows. But he's an annoying fella. And so he's not, as a babyface, nobody cares about him, and he's often booed. And as a heel, hey, at least if he's booed as a heel, he's supposed to be booed as a heel. So that's the issue. I mean, it is too bad because he is a good PR guy, but we got to watch him on television.
You can still do PR as wearing the black hat, or in his case, I guess it would be a black hat. He's just terrible. I think at anything he does, sorry, Miz, no offense. I haven't seen the movie. Maybe you're a fantastic actor. But still, to not realize that, okay, the movie's coming out, have him be a baby face for that. I mean, he was already, you could say, somewhat sympathetic in that he kept getting mashed by Randy Orton and mashed by the Big Show. Although, frankly, I think the viewer came out of it thinking that he probably deserved it. But still, why could this not wait until after the movie? Like, you didn't know this is one of your stars, quote unquote. He's going to be in a movie on a network that there's no even synergy with. It's on ABC Family. And yet you completely forget and flip him heel and then dig yourself back out of it. It's just very, very poor.
Got a note here from Greg. If you are, if you've got a Roku box, there is a TuneIn app on Roku, and so you can listen to this show through your home theater, which is what Greg is doing right now. So if you get a chance to try that, give it a shot. The Ultimate Fighter finale was last night, and we have two champions, a male champion and a female champion, Juliana Pena. Beat Jessica Roccozzi to win the Women's Ultimate Fighter 18 trophy. And for the men, as expected, Chris Holdsworth beat Davey Grant in the finale. And both of them, I mean, they Juliana more than Holdsworth, they ran roughshod through the house. I mean, Holdsworth did as well. I mean, they both ran roughshod. But in this on this show as well, Holdsworth in the second round, rear naked choke on Davey Grant for the submission. And Pena just took down and just destroyed Roccozzi. And afterwards, interestingly enough, and I actually could have seen this coming, and I expected it, to be honest with you, Juliana cut a promo on Ronda Rousey. Juliana is, she trains with Miesha Tate. They train out of the same gym in Spokane, over the mountains from where I am right now. And, I mean, I expect Ronda Rousey to destroy Miesha Tate. I mean, I think it's going to be just a sound thrashing unless Ronda's just, you know, if Miesha's too much in Ronda's head, I suppose anything can happen. But all things aside, I expect Ronda to destroy her. And if that happens, who's next in line for Ronda Rousey? I guess you could say Kat Zingano. And from a sporting aspect, I'm sure that's true. She was promised the shot before getting injured. But just from a storyline standpoint and promos and that sort of thing, looking at this, of course, from a pro wrestling perspective, Juliana Pena against Ronda Rousey with Miesha Tate in Juliana's corner trying to, you know, find somebody that can dethrone Ronda Rousey, that to me is a fun story.
Oh, I absolutely think it is if she just had a little bit more experience. I know coming out of the house, and I know probably because it's a women's fight, you may be able to get away with it. But again, with Kat Zingano, I know it's just to rain on the parade with too much sport, but I think you give it to Kat Zingano first and then I guess see what she does after this. You know, she dusted off Roccozzi quick. She could have two or three fights in a relatively short period of time if she's so dominant where she just swarms and lays somebody out within, you know, 2-3 minutes each time. You could have enough wins under her belt to maybe go off and pull that fight off sooner rather than later. But I still would say Zingano would definitely deserve the shot first.
Now, the main event last night, it was Gray Maynard and Nate Diaz. And Nate Diaz, he took it to this guy. Some great grappling early, awesome judo throw, and then Nate just took him apart. And we had a rare, in UFC at least, a standing TKO. Gray was against a fence, and Nate just punched him and just destroyed him. And the referee finally jumped in. And even though he was on his feet, even though he stayed on his feet, I mean, this was arguably a late stoppage by the referee. And he finally pulled Nate off, and Gray took a couple of steps and fell down and collapsed. And, I mean, obviously, it was a just stoppage. And as I said, maybe a little bit too late. So Nate Diaz skipped out on the high school reunion to come beat up Gray Maynard. And it paid off for him. So we'll talk more about that after the break. And prepare to call, everyone. Phone-ins are beginning in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are live, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com. Tune in radio, the website and the mobile app, iHeartRadio, the website and the mobile app. and also worldwide on the Armed Forces Network. Big shout out to all the men and women of our armed forces listening in right now. I know we got a lot of MMA pro wrestling fans listening in, so a big hello to you. And of course, if you are listening to this and you love the show and you only get to hear it once a week, you are missing out. WrestlingObserver.com, we do radio shows every single day only for subscribers. It is $10.99 a month, and for that price, not only do you get two shows a day, but full access to our archive. Every single show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now. And we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. I've got another show coming up tonight, the Brian and Vinny Show. We'll be talking Total Divas, NXT with the American Bulldogs, if I recall correctly. Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, I believe, are on the show tonight. Ring of Honor and a lot of other stuff that's coming up tonight. Tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. So much more. Colt Cabana's on the show on Tuesday. All of this only for subscribers. WrestlingObserver.com. Head over there right now. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. A listing of our latest free radio shows. If this is not enough of a preview for you, four shows up there for you to download absolutely free. And if you like what you hear, thousands more for just $10.99 per month. We are going to be taking your phone calls in this segment. The phone number, 855-478-4478. You can begin calling right now, 855-478-4478. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Emails to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Let's hear what is on your mind. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim. I'm calling from Martinsville, Virginia.
Jim in Virginia, what's going on?
Well, Brian, I was just wondering, what is the status of Layla in the WWE?
Well, she's there. She's uninjured. And no one seems to know why she's not on television right now.
You know, the reason I asked, a couple of months ago, they made like she was going to have some kind of storyline being AJ's friend, you know?
Yeah, they shoot a lot of angles, and then for whatever reason, they decide they change their mind.
Now, jumping to TNA, what are they going to do about the Knockouts division? I know they brought Lady Tapa in, but that just seems like putting a Band-Aid on the bleeding, you know? I mean, they're basically the Knockouts division is non-existent.
They're going to bring in whoever they can bring in at this point that's going to work cheap. That's pretty much the deal. I mean, they've made a big change for the men and the women. I mean, they got rid of Mickie James because she was making a lot of money, and she was very talented. And they're bringing in some girls. A couple of girls have come in from Southern California through the David Lagana connection. And pretty much anybody that is willing to come in and work fairly cheap is going to get a shot in TNA, but I don't know if they've got any solid plans for anything right now. They're just going to kind of see who's willing and able.
One other thing, you're talking about the women in WWE. Any chance that they might bring Paige about NXT?
I presume she's coming up sometime soon. I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm a big fan of Paige. I think she's excellent. Mike, did you hear the interview from Nikki Bella who was talking about how girls like Paige had it easy?
Yes, I did. It's amazing. Amazing, that one. I know that was probably done just to tweak people and things like that. And, you know, Brian, you actually had her mom on not all that long ago, I don't think. But, I mean, her mom has been wrestling now for years. Paige has been wrestling since she was about 13 or 14 years old. Who knows when her actual
Paige legitimately has almost been wrestling for half of her life.
Yeah, and she's very, very good. She should be up on the main roster. At some point, she will be up on the main roster. Does she come up before, say, a Sasha Banks or somebody like that? Probably not, no, because of what WWE and their business is and what they're looking for and things like that. But with that said, when she goes up there, she, if given even a little bit of a hole to jump through, and I would go out on a limb to say the Daniel Bryans and CM Punks of the world will probably open, you know, be there with open arms to try to help her along as best as possible because of the pedigree and the respect that she has amongst independent workers and amongst people that watch Shimmer and watch women's wrestling. She's going to be very, very good. It's unfortunately, it's, you know, again, it was a comment that I would think is only they knew what they were saying And it's either a completely airhead comment where they didn't know what they were saying, and that's too bad that they didn't. But realistically, it was probably more of something just to kind of tweak people, tweak Paige and tweak fans and treat other people that, that think she belongs up there far sooner than a Alicia Fox or a Natasha or what is Oksana? That would be her name.
The phone number, 855-478-4478. We are taking calls right now. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Michael from San Francisco.
Michael, what's up?
Hey, so I'm calling because I was listening to the Dave show earlier today at the gym, and Dave mentioned that there's no matches right now that he currently wants to see. There's just nothing that's exciting him. So I was thinking, you know, say Vince McMahon goes crazy and he says, Brian, I want to give you the ability to book any match you want. What do you think that you would book for WrestleMania that you think would be able to capture fans, not only hardcore fans, but also casual fans?
Are you talking like I got anybody in the world or just anybody currently with WWE right now?
Well, I would say people in WWE, obviously, because, you know, we can talk about guys in Ring of Honor or Japan, but let's just say that you had to pick from the current crop of WWE stars.
Oh, man.
Come on, you can do it.
I don't know. I honest to God... Here's Dave's point, too. It was kind of depressing when I'll let you answer, too, here in a second, Mike. Dave's comments were a little bit depressing, but, I mean, the issue is that there's 3 hours of Raw. There's 2 hours of SmackDown. There's an hour of Main Event. If you watch it, there's an hour of NXT, and sometimes some of these WWE guys go down and have matches in NXT, and there is no match I haven't seen. I mean, the best I can come up with is to say something like, well, you know, let's, and this will never happen in 100 million years, let's have John Cena win both titles, let's have him go full heel, let's have everybody hate him, and then let's do your Vince McMahon versus Triple H for control of the company, and have Daniel Bryan be the babyface trying to save the company against a heel John Cena. And he goes in there and he wins the titles from Cena in the main event of WrestleMania. But I don't even know if, like, I don't know. Maybe people would care about that. Maybe they wouldn't. We've already seen the match. I mean, there are no great... Maybe Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. Maybe something like that. That's a great unseen match that I think people would really care about. But we've just seen everything. Mike?
Yeah, that would be. That was the first one that entered in my mind, was doing like Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. I mean, Austin and Undertaker for both of their last matches, it probably wouldn't be this year. It would be maybe the year after. Who knows when it would be with The Undertaker, because as long as he's got enough, you know, power to work up to one match, hey, that's cool with me. You keep having that match. But you know, something like that, I think, would be the way to go. And it's not that it's not like I don't want to see John Cena and Randy Orton, because they are good together. It's just you've seen it a zillion times, and if you try to plug somebody else into that mix, it's tough because nobody means anything, and they haven't done a good job, really. It's one thing to invest in the character of the wackiness. It's another thing to want to actually separate from your money to pay to see them. And obviously, that's a big problem for them right now. I mean, you could look, CM Punk... Triple H or Daniel Bryan Triple H, I think, would be things that you could make people care about and want to see. And there's a couple guys you could put up against The Undertaker and do it that way too, but still there's a bigger picture problem which is causing this, of why you don't want to see, you know, guy X against guy Y. It's not the guys themselves of seeing the match too many times, because they could do something different in those matches if they wanted to. It's about, you kind of just don't want to see anybody face anybody, because who is there to believe in on there? You know, they Big Show has now been cut off. We're not going to see Big Show Triple H, it doesn't look like, because that absolutely went nowhere. Now you can't do Daniel Bryan Triple H or something like that to try to get his revenge that way. That's now gone. It's frustrating, because you could have a lot of matches. You could have Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow in the mix, but instead you have them beating each other with wacky instruments. So why do you want to see them face off against somebody in a high-profile situation?
I apologize. I forgot we had two mics on the line. So Michael in San Francisco, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, what match? I mean, could you name a match that we haven't seen or that we would care about?
So what I was thinking was, I was thinking back to the Triple H Batista feud back in, I believe it was 05. I was like, I went to that WrestleMania was awesome. And the reason why I liked that match is because it was a long build. You really got into Batista, and you really, really wanted him to go against Triple H. And though I believe he was a heel at the time, am I correct? Batista?
Well, I mean, he's turning babyface, but yeah.
Yeah, so there was that idea of, of really wanting Batista to turn on Triple H. And I think they can do that with Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns, obviously, is a heel right now, but they're putting momentum behind him. Obviously, at Survivor Series, he was a lone survivor, I believe, but basically they want him to be the next big guy. So my thinking is, they really put a lot of effort behind him at Royal Rumble. He can just, totally clean the house. If they make him into something special to the point where the crowd is just begging for him to turn face and then have him go against somebody, whether it be Triple H, whether it be, Randy Orton, whoever they want to put as the authority figure, I think you can possibly get something out of that. I'm not saying it's going to be, the biggest buy rate ever or the best match, but I'm saying as a compelling storyline, I think that's something they could possibly do.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, any thoughts on that?
You know who I'd like to see in the main event of WrestleMania? The Rock and AAW champion Kevin Steen.
The Rock and Kevin Steen.
Sure, why not?
He's the AAW champion right now?
Yes, he is. Actually, he won it last night.
Did he really?
Yes.
Phone lines open, everybody. 855-478-4478. Give us a call. And you, too, can talk about Kevin Steen and the AAW championship. And we actually should talk a little bit about what's going on with Davey Richards. He is no longer with Ring of Honor. And it's a very complicated story. It is, I've actually got the whole story, and most of it's going to be in the new Figure Four Weekly this week. But suffice to say, there were a lot of things that happened that led to this. And among them was an interview that he did in a magazine in the UK, where he basically he talked about how the titles didn't mean much, and he was very critical of the company. And it actually got a lot of people within the company and particularly a lot of people at Sinclair were furious. And on top of that, he pulled out of his NOAH tour, citing a bad neck. And then, unfortunately for Davey, it's 2013, and NOAH quickly found out that he had other bookings that he was taking. And ROH was not happy with that because they, in some ways, helped kind of put that tour together. So a lot of things went down, and he's no longer with the company. But Eddie Edwards is going to be at Final Battle, and we're going to find out more about that tomorrow. All right, you are on the air. About 30 seconds. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Bert in Oak Lawn, Illinois.
Bert, what's up?
I wanted to know, I've read on the internet all about the TNA for sale. Who are the real people that were looking at it?
The real people that were looking at the sale of TNA?
Yeah.
That is a good question. I'm going to let you listen off of the air. We're going to head to a break here in a second. I can talk more about this when we come back. But the people that are closest to buying TNA have not been listed anywhere on the internet. I will just say that. So if you've heard the rumors of who is buying TNA, you have not heard the name yet. I'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sembervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you are calling, best bet is to disconnect for a while. We'll be taking calls in about 10 minutes. We got two short segments here, and then we will be back in action. Quick note on the call regarding the sale of TNA. I have not heard anything in a couple of weeks, but about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the word that I had given was that the person most interested in TNA was somebody that nobody anywhere on the internet, and I know there had been a lot of speculation, a lot of names being thrown about, but nobody anywhere on the internet had guessed who this individual and his group were yet. And as far as I know, that is still the case. And the last I heard was that they were pretty serious. They were very seriously in negotiations, but it's been a few weeks now, and I've heard nothing, so it's possible that the deal fell through. And I know that my understanding was there were a lot of different A lot of different things going on in terms of how much do the Carters want to own? How much would the new ownership want the Carters to own? Was anything going to work out in terms of getting this deal done? So a lot of questions, and we can talk more about that in hour two. If you call later on in the program, make sure you give us your name and where you're calling from. And also, let us know how you're listening. We've got a lot of different ways to hear the program, including Sirius Satellite Radio, all of the links up at WrestlingObserver.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeart Radio, and as somebody noted, they were listening to iHeart, TuneIn actually, on their Roku box. So please let us know how you're calling as well. We're going to be taking a bunch of calls in the second hour, 855-478-4478. And I will be answering your emails and your Twitter questions as well. At Brian Alvarez is the Twitter, Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. is the email address. So we are going to head to our top of the hour break. Be back in just a bit. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. And we have a lot to talk about today. We spent the first hour talking Survivor Series TLC, the Ultimate Fighter finale. We are taking your phone calls starting after this segment. So in about 5 minutes, you can begin calling again. The phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. We'll be taking your Twitter questions as well. And you can contact us at Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. Email as well. We got so many ways to contact us here. And Mike Sempervivi, we've got a Twitter question. This person wants to know, how long do you see the Shield remaining a team? And how long do you see it taking Roman Reigns to get in the WWE title picture?
Ooh, that's a really good one. I'm actually going to go on that one around the time of Royal Rumble. And then post-WrestleMania, I can see a big singles push for him. I think that would be the way to go with the true seeds of the split being planted at probably the Royal Rumble, even though they've done a good job with that as of now.
The 2014 year is going to be heavy on tag teams, at least is the idea. And Roman Reigns splitting away from the Shield doesn't mean the Shield disintegrates. My guess is that he is going to split off and be a top babyface and maybe even be in the title picture by SummerSlam. I doubt by WrestleMania. I was told there are no main events that are set in stone for WrestleMania, but they got a lot of different ideas featuring all the top guys. But if he splits away, you could still have Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose as a heel tag team, and hopefully they do because as a team, they're absolutely awesome. And they could even add a new member, somebody from developmental, if you want to give some new guy a rub. A lot of different ways they could go, but I do expect that probably sometime around Royal Rumble or shortly thereafter, Roman Reigns is off on his own. And a big push is coming. We're going to head to a break when we come back. Your phone calls, emails, Twitter questions, and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And because we are live, we are taking your phone calls, we are taking your Twitter questions here today, as well as emails to Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. Start calling now, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, and of course emails to Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. The phone lines are on fire. So let's check them out. You are on the air. Who is this? Where are you calling from? And how are you listening to the show?
My name is Chris, and I'm in Las Vegas, and I was listening to it on K-Ship 1400, and they took you off the air for football or something. I don't know.
How dare they? What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I know you guys were talking earlier about the pay-per-views and whatnot, and you know how they're supposed to unify the titles, but I feel like they're in a situation where if they do it, they're screwed, and if they don't do it, they're screwed. You know, if people are buying their pay-per-views, they're going to want to see what they're asked for, what they promised to deliver. And then if they do it well, then, yeah, you didn't really think it out, and it was a stupid time to do it.
So your big argument against doing it is it shouldn't be done on a three-week build on a throwaway pay-per-view in the middle of December.
Sure.
Can't argue. Mike, your thoughts?
No, can't really – can't argue with that at all. And, again, it just – it's –
But it's one thing after another
as far as, you know, Daniel Bryan, the quick slip on him, and they could have the excuse, well, John Cena's coming back. We you know, obviously we know people like Daniel Bryan, wink, wink, but we're going to go with Big Show because he's the bigger name, and then John Cena's coming back. Nothing has worked. Nobody can get into or believe anything, so it is just throwing it away, although I guess really – also, does it even matter? It's just a way to put something onto a pay-per-view. So, again, they don't have much faith right now from, I don't think, anybody. Yeah, maybe the casual viewer, possibly, maybe, but that seems to be about it.
So, basically, you checkmated us.
Right.
Well.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up was about the network, and it should matter if they want to suggest this network. And, you know, I asked people in my family, I was like, because they have long stopped watching wrestling. And I said, would you order WrestleMania $14.95 and pay for the network? And they're like, sure. And they're like, but what do we do after that? And I imagine their answer is cancel it.
Well, that will not be good. WWE, I want to thank you very much for the call. WWE is relying on people buying this network and not canceling.
And forgetting about the fact it's on the bill because they automatically pay their bill every month or something like that.
I got to say, I have to say that that does happen. But every few months, I do look at my bill, and when there's stuff on there I'm not using, I do cancel it. So if they're thinking that there's a bunch of people that are just going to disregard $14.95 a month for a service that they're not using, they should probably think again. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's up? How are you listening to us?
Tune in radio.
Tune in radio. Tablet. Awesome. What's your question?
It's not so much a question, actually. I was listening to the Lance show earlier in the week, and you guys were talking about protected chair shots and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I've called in a few times, you know, obviously in the past, but I never mentioned there was a time period about 2001 where I was actually a pro wrestler myself. I worked for Jersey All Pro Wrestling in New Jersey, and my gimmick was known as the Sheik. I just sent you an email with a video to show some of that stuff. And so the reason I was talking about it, at the time, I kind of had a vision of what wrestling was, I think, kind of influenced a lot from ECW. And I did, at the time, take quite a few unprotected chair shots, most notably from Axel Rotten.
No good.
No good, yes. I guess you could say over time I smartened up. But at the time, it was just like you kind of have this vision of pro wrestling and what you think it should be. And I got out of the business partly because I didn't know if I'd make it to the WWE because I was quite a bit of a sandbagger. But at the same time, I saw a lot of guys, you know, former ECW wrestlers and their condition, their body. I'm not going to name specific names, but I remember seeing one guy who was clearly on heroin. And one guy I could mention, one time at a show, we had Shane Douglas there. And for a guy who in ECW didn't seem to do too much of the hardcore stuff, the scars on his face were quite a sight to see. Like, I was surprised what I saw of the condition of these people and kind of said to myself, I don't know if, as a fan, I like watching the violence and I like watching the extremeness of certain things, but as a human being, I think it is a bit crazy. And the only thing I want to mention about that is they're doing the angle with Big Show right now with the concussion, and they've been doing concussion angles. Lance made a point, like, if you're going to let people hit each other in the head, then maybe you should do concussion angles. And I was thinking, probably not the case, but I was wondering if this is leading to them, kind of like they did with pile drivers at the time. I'm wondering if that's leading to them basically banning shots to the head in general. Like, that's part of, like, the storyline, but in real life at the same time.
I want to thank you very much for the call. Audio quality was a little wacky, but yeah, I don't know. I can't see WWE banning shots to the head. But in real life, I mean, they did ban pile drivers, unless your name is The Undertaker. And they also banned the punt, Randy Orton's punt. because he had accidentally punted a few people. And I guess they decided not worth the risk. And if you watch the Survivor Series, I mean, he missed by a mile when he punted to Big Show. And some people will complain, but to me, it's kind of like, that's fine. I'd much rather you miss than hit. I don't need a guy really getting a concussion. I can see some sort of... And they really have banned chair shots to the head. I mean, you've got to get permission. If you try and throw a chair shot to the head and they don't okay it, you're in big trouble. But, Mike, the idea that shots to the head in general would be banned from WWE, I just don't see it happening.
I don't think so either, again, because it is supposed to be a simulation of a fight and a competitive, thing. You know, they did that on Saturday Morning Slam, actually, which was great. And that was one of the things, and too bad it hasn't worked out between the CW network and WWE, or maybe WWE is going to bring it back for their own network or something like that. But they didn't do it on there, and guys were able to work just fine. It was actually, great, considering who the show was aimed at, which was seven-year-old kids and R.D. Reynolds. That actually worked out fantastic. But, you talk about some of the moves you don't see. Harry Smith has talked about the fact that they don't like bridging suplexes. You don't see those in WWE, very much. I think the perfect plex was used a little bit by Curtis Axel, but then, he hasn't used it in quite some time, I don't believe. And you don't see dragon suplexes and Northern Lights bridges and things like that either. So, I can understand why you would say take the punching or the shots to the head out. It's just, you'd really have to retool what pro wrestling / sports entertainment was for a long time, I think, to get to that level for that. It's just, to me, it's a matter of training in that, make sure you're pulling your punches and the other guy is selling them correctly so you don't have to make too much contact.
The phone number, 855-478-4478. If you want to see the video that Sammy from New Jersey was just referencing, it is on my Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez. Head up there and check out the clip of him wrestling. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
How's it going, Brian? Sick in Chicago, and I'm listening on the TuneIn Radio website.
TuneIn. Very popular. Eric, what's going on?
I got two things I want to talk to you real quick. The first being the Bobby Roode, James Storm, Florida Death Match from a few weeks ago.
Hated it.
I think it was an awesome match. I think the match actually was awesome, but it had the worst finish I could think of. I mean, what right does Gunnar have to throw in the towel for Storm in a singles match when he's his tag team partner? I think it's ridiculous. Also, to make matters worse, it's the last man standing death match where the only way to win is to incapacitate your opponent where they're unable to answer a 10 count. And, I think really James Storm needed to win that one. I mean, Roode on his own free time, on his own accord, went to hunt down James Storm in a Orlando bar, and they gave Roode the win, and it was a crap finish. I mean, they really could have put that one a little bit better. Who put the barbed wire gimmick under the ring?
We got to go to a break. I hate to cut you off, but we got to go to a break. I hated the match. Mostly because everyone was hitting each other in the head, just like we were just talking about. Don't hit each other in the head. We'll talk about this more and answer more of your questions when we get back from the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline. USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app. You can also check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app, as well as iHeart.com. iHeart Radio, the talk radio portal there. 60 million subscribers, so a lot of people listening to this program. And we're talking Anthony Pettis and Benson Henderson. And I don't want to get any heat with Benson Henderson, God forbid. But Benson Henderson, after he was submitted to this interview where he morphed into Frank Mir to explain the technical intricacies of this armbar. And he's explaining that, well, it started out like a shoulder lock, but I was just about to get my shoulder free when he did this intricate little switch of his hips or whatever, and the pressure then went to my arm, and I was forced to tap. And I was like, really? Because to me, I don't know if this is the case, but when I heard this interview, it was like, you just got your black belt, and this guy is a blue belt, and he just beat you with a basic armbar from the guard, which you'd learn as a white belt. And so it sounds to me like you're trying to make this armbar seem more intricate than it really was in order to, I don't know, psychologically shift the heat from whatever happened. You know what I mean?
Well, he puts some salve on his own wound when he tries to explain it away, and he makes himself, you know, I think it's just one of those things that is instinctual, too, you know. It's always amazing. We don't get people saying dumber things in boxing and in MMA. I mean, they've been getting punched in the head, and they've been fighting, and they've been going all out, and they've been tunnel visioned on this event they're going to have, and then they have it right afterwards. You stick the microphone in the loser's face of the guy who just lost his championship. And I'm surprised we don't get dumber things. He was very, you know, coherent in how he was doing it. But to me, it screamed that, yeah, he was trying to put a little bit of salve on his own wound. And I wish that there was Bobby Heenan there holding the microphone. So after he said that, he just, you know, would get looked at and goes, you know, have somebody say to him, so he trapped your arm, right?
It looked to me like he was in his guard and then he got armbarred. That's it. I mean, maybe it was this technically advanced savant-like jiu-jitsu that Anthony Pettis described, but it looked to me like Aaron tapped him out. Happens to everybody. It's okay. But, it was very impressive. Never submitted in WEC, never submitted in UFC. And, I mean, it's one thing when you're never in position to get submitted, but he'd been in a lot of submissions, and he got out of all of them. But not this one. And it happens to everybody, just like it happened to Fedor Emelianenko. He just got triangled. He just was in the guy's guard, punching the dude, and all of a sudden he got triangled. And usually when it happens, it's something stupid like that. And that's exactly what happened. So Anthony Pettis now is recovering from getting his knee kicked out of his knee by Benson Henderson. And next in line, inexplicably, I know some people are going to be very angry that I said that, but it's TJ Grant.
Well, I mean, it's not inexplicable, but
it's kind of inexplicable. We'll talk about that in a second. Hold on. Let's take this call. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Antonio Lopez from Colorado Springs.
What's up, Antonio?
Not much. I just got off of a 9-hour-and-a-half shift. They asked me if I could do 30 minutes of overtime. I'm not doing that again.
Good for you.
Wait. They asked you to do a half hour. Are all 9 of these hours going to be time and a half?
No.
Oh.
Man.
Just a half hour. It's a call center, so it's even worse.
Oh, man.
Lovely folks at Comcast. What can I say?
Oh, man. I could. If this wasn't a wrestling show, I'd talk to you for hours.
Hey, that's cool with me.
Let me just ask you one question. It has nothing to do with wrestling. Actually, it kind of does, because I've had to call the cable company many times because of pay-per-view screw-ups. But as a person who works at a call center and as a person who I'm sure at some point in your life has had to call a call center, which is worse, having to call the call center or being at the call center?
I would say having to call.
Yeah.
Just because when you're at the call center, you're in control. Like, I've listened to the Brian Bay show way back, and if you called me, you would have no problems at all. I actually work in retention. So I try my best to keep the customers, and you'd be with Comcast forever. Fuck, you got me, man.
I love that Comcast has a department called retention.
Hey, I'm pretty good at it.
That's just hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah. I'm sure you are great at it.
I 80%, so.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, what's on your mind?
Are we talking about anything in particular?
Wrestling or mixed martial arts, but the lines are open.
Okay, I guess it's really weird to think about Vicky Guerrero someday being in the WWE Hall of Fame.
I think it's guaranteed.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's been there longer than Eddie, you know, which can give or take. And I know you've been to live shows before. Her massive heat is insane, like, you know, bigger than some of the wrestlers, most of them, actually. I mean, she's been a main event non-wrestling character for a while. I mean, you got La Familia and all that, all the stuff with Edge, and she's been a manager in an era where they're really sparse, and she's she's stuck with everything they've thrown at her between horrible matches, her getting in the ring, pick flops, Santino, whatever. I honestly, I would be a major candidate for that happening.
I think that based on the number of people they put in every year and the fact that they like to have a legend, they like to have a woman, and then they have the big name star. I mean, something would have to go terribly wrong for her not to eventually get the nod to go to the I think. What do you think, Mike?
Well, this is going to sound really slimy and cynical, but again, there's truth in it, too, where they have given her, I mean, they have kicked the crap out of her at times, you know, with her weight or how she's portrayed or different things, you know, to mess with her on camera and things like that, and just things that have just naturally happened to her on her own. Because of that stuff, again, when it comes time for her to be inducted and they talk about, like, here's a woman whose husband gave herself, you know, himself for this business and this company, and she's such a trooper, and she is the example that everyone needs to see, that, you know, you can be entertaining and you can take all these things thrown at you and still succeed. And for them to be able to tell that story in the WWE way, you know, is great. And frankly, to be honest, because of that too, because of Eddie, because of how she's been portrayed and the things like that, she deserves it. You know, she deserves everything that she can get out of this deal. I know a lot of people were upset when they kept her around and, you know, they started putting her in roles and they didn't like it because that was Eddie's wife. But it's like, you know what? You know, as long as she's happy and she's getting paid a lot of money to do it and she got the opportunity to get her daughter Shaw, who was actually going back to FCW or to going back to NXT at Full Sail. Because of those things, again, I can't complain about it whatsoever, and I think that would be a great idea down the line for her to be in.
Absolutely. It's amazing to me that people would think that she doesn't deserve it, but, I mean, we're talking about the most cynical fans on board, so I'd
it's
stay
the
away from
WWE
it.
Hall of Fame, for crying out loud.
Limo driver.
Johnny Rods is in the Hall of Fame.
Coco Beware!
At least he had Frankie.
How is Coco Beware a bigger star than Vicky Guerrero? I mean, come on.
Maybe he sold a lot.
Are you against Vicky Guerrero going to the WWE Hall of Fame?
I don't know, Brian. I don't go on your board.
Okay. I thought you said there was...
Not, no insult.
I thought you said there were people arguing this on the board.
Well, board.
I see. Okay.
So you can imagine what's going on our board.
I can only imagine.
No disrespect. I couldn't do it.
I can't either. All right, well, thank you very much, and good job not doing that extra 30 minutes. That's how you do it.
I've got to get a direct line to him. I really do as a Comcast customer.
Man, if I were still with Comcast, I'd need a direct line. I had more problems. You know what's funny is I had more problems with Comcast, and then I went to Frontier, and my problems resumed. I think all these cable companies are really just one big cable company. And so the gimmick is you work in the retention area, and if I ended up the 20% that he couldn't retain, I would go to Frontier, but that's really just another division of whatever the giant evil conglomerate is that owns all of these cable companies. Let me tell you what happened, Mike. I hate to get away from wrestling and TJ Grant again, but listen to this. So I have a DVR, which we all do, I'm sure, and that's a DVR box. I've got a TV in the living room. And then my wife has an office, and there's a TV and a DVR box in there. So we have two TVs and two DVR boxes so we can watch our own stuff. So I have cable, obviously, because I have to watch all this crap. And the cable's working fine in the living room, but in her office, she's only getting like 9 channels. So before I got this problem fixed...
Let's see. I had Comcast, had the same issues, had to do it at least 3 times,
Not
more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then they sent someone to the house who didn't bother knocking on the door or ringing the doorbell. They just went home.
Wait, they went home?
They just left.
They didn't enter nothing. Pulled in.
I was here the entire day, and they were like, Bob showed up to fix your box, and nobody was home. I was like, I was home all day. We have a doorbell. It's right there by the door. But yeah, they finally sent me a new box and it worked, but that was pretty much infuriating. So anyway, I wish that fella had worked at Frontier to help me out. All right, before we go to this break, Why TJ Grant, Mike? Besides the fact that he deserves it.
Well, just the fact.
I know that sounds stupid, but I mean, come on now.
Just, you know, being injured and having to pull out and everything. And look, to me, I got to be honest, because people say it was conspiracy with Pettis fighting Milwaukee. You know, Grant pulls out, blames, you know, the injury, and obviously he was very upset over that. But, you know, we talk about it after the break. But, yeah, look, he deserves it just for that reason.
All right, we're going to do a break, and we come back more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on your smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, as well as the iHeart Talk portal at iHeart.com, iHeart Radio, 60 million subscribers. Join the fun, everybody, as well as at WrestlingObserver.com, the place to go for all of the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Wrestling Observer, established 1983. We're here online now. Observers, figure fours, radio shows, more radio shows you know what to do with. If you love this show and you only get to hear one time per week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows, 10 to 15 new shows every week, and every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. And I'm not just talking Wrestling Observer Live. I'm not talking one show a week times however many weeks that is dating back to 2005. I'm talking Observer Live, Wrestling Observer Radio, Figure Four Daily, Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare. List goes on and on. We got so many shows on the website, and all of them are available in the archives. $10.99 a month. That is it. When you sign up, you get full access to everything. It's not like you sign up and you only get some of this stuff. You get everything. $10.99. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But if you do, you will thank me, as have the thousands who have gone from Wrestling Observer Live to WrestlingObserver.com, signed up, and then emailed me and said, why didn't I do this earlier? I don't know. I don't know why you didn't do it earlier, but now's your chance. Do it now. WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest free radio shows. You can check those out. If you like what you hear, sign up, and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them will be available for you. WrestlingObserver.com. All right, we're talking Anthony Pettis. I argue his next opponent should be Jose Aldo. I know it's not much of a super fight, but as I mentioned on another show, I've got a chiropractor who watches some MMA, and every time I go there, the dude asks the same thing. When are we going to get Anderson Silva and GSP? When are we going to get Anderson Silva and John Jones? All he cares about is super fights. All he asks me about. People really want to see super fights. And we're not going to see Jones and Silva anytime soon. We're not going to see GSP and Silva anytime soon. So now that you have the opportunity to actually make a super fight, even if it's not the biggest super fight in the world, you may as well just make it and get it all over with. Maybe the guy will win a title in two divisions. Good for him. Defend both titles. Just alternate one division to the other and do something historic. This Pettis and TJ Grant, I know PJ, I just called him PJ. I know TJ Grant deserves this, but you know what? Nobody knows who TJ Grant is. He ain't going anywhere. You do the super fight, and then TJ Grant gets his title shot.
Do you want to add in that TJ Grant's mom was ugly or something like that?
I'd never say that.
I agree with you, and I think actually having that like that kind of fight as the semi-main event or even the main event on a show you know obviously is not going to be. You know, you have three big shows in a row. You're always going to have, you know, say, the Brazilian show or something like that that's not going to do all that well. And I think doing that is a great idea, but you still got to do, to me, Pettis and Grant first, and you still have at least like Aldo and – you know, Ricardo Lamas, you can still do before you do that fight and you have that, you know.
You haven't learned a lesson there, buddy.
Well, but
when a fight falls into your lap, do the fight.
But this isn't really falling into the lap because, Brian, nobody is clamoring like they were for for GSP and Anderson Silva, or John Jones and Anderson Silva, or even Daniel Cormier and John Jones got more love than anyone saying that Jose Aldo and Anthony Pettis need to fight. So if there's enough demand for it, and because the fact that you can make the fight, go ahead and do it. I just don't think the demand is there yet. Where if you, Aldo's going to beat Lamas, and I think Pettis can beat Grant. So you get that out of the way, and then you have that fight. And I know you can look. I know you can lose it, but I don't put that fight on a pedestal where you do. Where it's even.
I don't put it on a pedestal.
The end of the world, if you do it or not.
I don't put it on a pedestal. But of those four people, Anthony Pettis, TJ Grant, Ricardo Lamas, and Jose Aldo. Of those four people, the combination that will mean the most is to me Pettis and Aldo. Pettis and Ricardo Lamas is not going to mean anything. Aldo and TJ Grant isn't going to mean anything, even if all these guys have titles. The one that I think would mean something, not a lot granted, but something, would be Pettis and Aldo.
I think Barao and Aldo, you could, I don't know. I guess Pettis being American, you know, but to me, Barao and Aldo would be far more interesting than Pettis and Aldo.
I don't know.
And I'm not trying to crap on it, too, because you know it's going to be a good fight, but, I mean, you can make that case for anybody in the flyweight or the bantamweight division. You know, you take Uriah Faber's name out of the mix. You take anybody else in any of those divisions. You shake them all up. You throw them out there. The average fan has no clue what division those guys are in. You know, honest to God, I mean, from 155 down to 125, I bet you most fans have no clue when you throw it all out there what division these guys fight in and if they care or not. So I got to be I'm not. You know, poo-pooing your decision-making as far as trying to put that fight together. I just don't think it's enough on a pedestal where if you lose it, you have actually lost anything.
I haven't lost much, but I also wanted to mention, I was thinking about this today, Chris Weidman, he beat Anderson Silva, and here it is, September, and let me ask you this question, Mike. Does Chris Weidman seem like a big deal to you?
No, I think they kind of screwed that one up. I don't know. And again, UFC's got a lot of things to worry about. I think a lot of it is Chris Weidman's camp inside that they. I don't know how he is in Metro New York. I guess I can ask some people. You know, as far as his home base goes, but it just does not seem nationally like they were able to. And again, they'll have time before his next fight. With Silva, they'll have time to hype it up, and people are going to be involved and interested in the whole nine yards. But I just don't think they've been able to hold on to the lightning bolt that they had after that initial loss, and you know all the talk that came from it, and all the you know again that the Mike Tyson's punch out animation that was done that was awesome. There was a lot of stuff coming out of that fight, and there were a lot of people legitimately surprised and. There were average fans that I knew that asked the question, you know, that said, is this all just hype about, you know, Weidman going into this fight? And they were surprised coming out of it to see him actually beat Anderson Silva. And they were, you know, really surprised and kind of fired up there for a minute. But they did not do enough to get the meat hooks into really making him a big deal. He didn't get a presence on Fox Sports 1 or anything like that. I think UFC missed the boat a little bit, but I think his own hype campaign really missed the boat with this. But then again, everybody's different. Everybody likes to be perceived differently. This may not be that important to him. They still have time to build up the pay-per-view going into it, but I would have made more of a big deal out of this and continued to do so.
I'll talk more about that after we take this call. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? This is Bobby calling from Manassas, Virginia.
Bobby, what's up?
Not too much. I just got two questions I was going to ask.
Sure.
Okay, question number one. Do you know what's going on with Tom Zink nowadays?
He had an arrest recently, if I recall correctly. But other than that, I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I used to love to hear him back in the day on the Iyada shows. I thought if you guys were thinking about bringing him back on as a guest, maybe.
He went deep underground.
Oh, okay. And my other question is, what do y'all think about they got the new commentator now on Main Event, Alex Riley. What do you think about him as a commentator now? He's also doing NXT.
What do you think of Alex Riley, Mike?
To be honest, I've always really liked Alex Riley, and caller being from Manassas, I don't know if he knows Kevin Kiley, his father, who was a longtime sports reporter, still does college football, does a lot of things, may even do the NFL for all I know somewhere, but was always a good announcer, and I loved him starting on NXT. You could see it. He had a presence about him. He had that cocky jock role, which he was perfect with, and the attitude and the whole nine yards. And I know that there's a lot of rumors on, you know, John Cena or whoever it was backstage that he rubbed wrong, but when they dropped him like a hot potato, they dropped him hard. And he probably should have been in the position he was in because the wrestling skill wasn't there. But, you know, at least he's got a mouth. He comes from a father who was a good broadcaster. He's an athletic guy. I hope this isn't the end of his wrestling career because, again, he's a guy that I think you stick in Florida for a long time. He's actually going to benefit from it, and you might be able to get something out of him, but at least they're getting something out of him as an announcer. He's not great right now, but then again, there's not a lot of great announcers out there, period.
All right, well, thank you very much for the call, Bobby. Not a big fan of Alex Riley. He's not terrible, but he's got a lot of work that needs to be
better
done.
Better than The Miz.
He's, well, Jesus. Yeah, who isn't?
Who's not better than The Miz at everything?
I could put a wooden sparring dummy in that seat. He'd be better than The Miz.
They should actually put a broomstick there.
Sure. Now, what I was going to say about Weidman here, I want to make this very clear because I was thinking about this today. The reason Weidman is not over has nothing to do with UFC dropping the ball, I believe. It is because, to make a pro wrestling parallel, this was every example in wrestling history of a guy doing a job for someone, but not putting the guy over. We've seen it a million times. We saw it with Scott Hall and Hector Garza. And we've seen it with Triple H like 8 billion times where you go in there and you're going to prove you're the company guy and you lay down for the guy, but it means nothing and the fans know it means nothing. And I'm not saying for one second that Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman was a fake fight or anything like that. What I'm saying is that the way the fight went down, where Anderson Silva was clowning around and he got caught and he went down, the way that whole thing went down, it was exactly like that style of pro wrestling booking. Where, think about this, Anderson Silva may go down in history as the greatest fighter of all time, and Chris Weidman defeated him. This should have been like the biggest thing ever. But because of the way the fight went, because Anderson Silva was clowning around and he got clipped and the win was given to Chris Weidman, and of course it was deserving. He did clip him. But the way the whole thing went down, Chris Weidman didn't get over. For crying out loud, he's an underdog in the odds for the rematch. I mean, I was thinking about that today. I was just like, you know, we talk about this all the time with pro wrestling, but here was an example, because of circumstances, where the exact same thing happened in a real fight, and we got the exact same result. Nobody believes, I'm sure some people do, but, you know, the majority of people don't believe that he's going to beat Anderson Silva in the rematch. They don't believe that he's better than Anderson Silva, and they don't believe, because of the way the fight went down, that he is the better man, and that's why he hasn't gotten over. And I was
when they've seen that coming, they should have done something to hype his name up, keep him in the news.
Yeah, but what can you do? Everybody saw it with their own two eyes. The guy was clowning around and got caught. It wasn't a real win.
The odds came out, and my guy was who just beat the, you know, who pulled off this win is a plus 145 to the guy he knocked out, who's minus 175. I would have been going nuts. If I'm Matt Serra, whoever it is, I'd be going nuts, typing his name up, saying, you don't respect this man.
I don't want to say it was a fluke. I don't want to say it was, I apologize for saying it wasn't a real win. It was a real win. But that's what people think when they saw that. It was just like, I think people think that he got a lucky win. It is totally different from Pettis submitting Henderson. I think Pettis got over more being Henderson the way he did, a lot more than Weidman did. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment. segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Any final thoughts on what we were talking about in the last segment there, Mike?
No, I just think, again, I understand what you're saying, and I think you're exactly right, in because it was such a cartoonish way that it happened and everything. But with that said, you know, it's probably the UFC's responsibility to make sure that their champion is always bright and shining. They probably should have done more to get him out there on Fox Sports 1 and things like that. But, again, I think a lot of this actually falls on the Weidman side for not driving home the fact that this guy just beat the quote-unquote greatest fighter in the world, or some people, the one that some people say did it convincingly. And you know what? He's going to do it again the next time they meet. We haven't heard that from them.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens in the rematch. I don't know. I mean, when it was over, I don't know. I mean, I think that Weidman can beat him again, but would I consider him the favorite? No. And I think that when you beat the champion and afterwards you're still considered an underdog, I mean, I think anytime that happens, the guy who beat the champion isn't going to get over.
But some people just don't believe it. Remember, all the fighters said, you know, this guy's got the chance to win, and he goes out there and wins, so it's, hey, you know, it could just be one of those things where people are overrating kind of Anderson Silva when it comes to fighting Chris Weidman.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it was like, you know, they all talked about what Chris Weidman was going to do to this guy. But in reality, in that second round, I mean, Silva was absolutely having his way with him, even clowning around until he got caught. So when we actually saw it with our own two eyes, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see Weidman having an answer for him there in the second round until Silva decided to be a complete numbskull.
Be interesting. This could be like Roy Jones and Antonio Tarver, where once it happens, then it's over for the guy against the guy, which is what happened there.
All right, everybody, we are out of here. I want to thank you all for listening. We are up at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be up there again tonight with a brand new radio show with Dave Meltzer, only for subscribers. So head up there and check that out. Otherwise, we'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks, as always, to Mike, folks at Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, iHeart, everything else. We'll talk to you again next week, everybody, listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.